We are here in church for our own episode of The Masked Singer. I've been wanting to use that joke all week. we can finally sing together, and it makes me happy. I know lots of us have missed singing in church. We've done our best, both online, in the mornings and in the evenings. We even did Makaton signing for a season at our 4:30 service, and that was a good way to use our hands when we didn't know what we were meant to be doing with them when we couldn't sing. But if I had a pound for every time somebody has told me that they are missing singing, I would buy everybody a coffee in Costa after church, because lots of us have missed singing. I wonder what it is that strikes a chord with us about singing. For me, it helps me put into words often what I want to say about God. I'm no good at writing poetry. I've never written a song in my life. I am the least musical person probably in this room right now. But there is something about taking good words when they chime with our hearts that makes it feel bigger than us. So on this return to singing day, amidst the singing, we have got another 3 songs to go. I thought I'd share some reasons why I think singing in worship is important. The Bible tells us to sing. Colossians 3:16 says this: "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Ephesians 5 says this: "Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." When we sing, we're doing what God asks us to do. We are commanded to sing. We're doing what God asks of us. We heard from Colossians 3:16 about letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Paul says to let God's word dwell in us, to sink deep in us. We do that by teaching, don't we? We do that by Bible study, by memorizing scripture. We did that this week in Holiday Club. Some people say it's old-fashioned to have memory verses. I say no. I remember the memory verses from when I was a child doing beach missions and what have you. And the children were remarkably good, even the littlies, at memorizing scripture. It's really good. Good to do so. And also, it's another way of singing scripture so it gets in our hearts to where it needs to be. We sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we do that, the word of God gets to where it needs to get in our lives. Many years ago, when I was at theological college, I was taught that people will remember more often what they sing. They'll remember that longer than what you will preach about. Great. Sometimes wonder why I bother. So, songs get to places, in other words, that sermons do not. And we know that. Common sense tells us that music has a power to move us on an emotional level. I have lost count of the number of times that I've led worship in nursing homes with elderly people, And in front of me, I've got people with dementia and Alzheimer's who often don't know their name, but when you start singing Amazing Grace, something clicks in their head. Same with saying the Lord's Prayer. Something changes, then all of a sudden, they're back to a place they remember when they sang Amazing Grace. Or if they're in Boys Brigade, when you do When Your Anchor Holds. It takes people back. It has power. In this room, we have a variety of people with a variety of musical tastes. It seems that in church, we agree much on many things, but throughout time, music has been one of those things and the choices of music that people really get excitable about. We've all got different opinions on what makes a good song or a hymn to sing in church. If we sing our faith and we sing what we believe, that's the bit often that we will take home. And so good songs are also evangelistic because it's good to sing of the important stuff. Earlier on, we sang King of Kings, a perfect example of singing good theology. That song covers lots of what the gospel is about. Good worship is evangelistic. We sang about human beings being sinful and God's plan for the world. You might not know you were singing about that, but you did sing about that. We sang about Old Testament history and prophecies being fulfilled. We sang about heaven coming to earth at Christmas, about God and man. You did not know you were singing about that, but we sang about that. We sang about so much in that song. It covered the Trinity, the kingdom of God, that we are lost in sin without God. It covered the resurrection and the cross, that Jesus conquers death. It covered the birth of the church and how faith in Jesus shapes and changes us. All in one song. Good theology. We sing our faith. And when we sing, we build up others. One of the things I've missed most about singing is you. I can Zoom sing all I like, but quite frankly, my voice is pants. And I get a bit self-conscious singing by myself. But when we're all singing, you can't hear my voice anymore. We can hear our voice. And when we're being led in worship, that's a different experience. I can sing out loud and proud because I'm surrounded by my family who are doing the same. It is a foretaste of heaven. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking with one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Can you see there's a theme emerging here? Worship with singing is a corporate activity. We are to sing with one another. Our Colossians verse said the same thing. Another one another commandment. And that command to sing comes on the heels of bear with one another, forgive one another, put on love, being at peace with one another, and teach one another with singing. When we sing together, we build one another up. When we sing together, we make war. I don't mean this bloke with his war cry. I love the Salvation Army. But I believe there is a spiritual dimension when we sing and worship together. I believe in a personification of evil called Satan, because Jesus did. And when we sing and worship together, we align our hearts and our hopes to heaven. We sing of the one who sets us free. We sing of the one who crushes death on the cross, who takes our sin and renders it useless in front of the ugly one who wants to keep reminding us of our sin. We sing of transformation and new life. We sing of the kingdom breaking into our world and into our lives. We sing of forgiveness. We sing of the one who walks through our lives, through hills and valleys, with such constancy and faithfulness. And that attitude and that posture of praise annoys the hell out of the devil. A singing heart is one that's at war with Satan, because it means we are focused on God. When we sing, we're spiritually strengthened for hard times. We're called not just to sing when everything is tickety-boo. We should use tickety-boo more often in everyday speech. Tickety-boo. Paul and Silas in prison, life wasn't tickety-boo. And what did they do? They're in chains and they are singing at midnight. They must have really annoyed everybody around them, because everybody was listening to them. But it was an exercise in evangelism. It was an exercise in hope and in who they put their hope in. They could still sing even in the midst of hard times. And believers who are still persecuted today still find faith to sing in the midst of hard times. Let me read you this quotation. About some brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted right now. When we were in prison, we sang almost every day because Christ was alive in us. They put chains on our hands and feet. They chained us to add to our grief. Yet we discovered the chains are splendid musical instruments. When we clanged them together in rhythm, we could sing, "This is the day, clink, clank. This is the day, clink, clank, which the Lord has made, clink, clank, which the Lord has made, clink, clank." Wow. Wow. If singing can strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ in the face of persecution, which we don't know about quite yet, then I wonder what it can do for you and me. Singing is a good idea of God. And the Bible has always linked singing with joy. The Psalms are full of joy. Psalm 5, verse 1, "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them. And those who love your name may exult in you." Psalm 9, verse 2, I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Psalm 63, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." And in the New Testament, James says, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." So the Bible seems to tell us, if you struggle for joy, you should be singing. And if you are joyful, you should be singing. Because that's God's perfect design and understanding of us as humans. He binds joy and singing together. And it all comes down to one thing. When we sing, we glorify God. It's to him and about him that we sing. We are so very easily distracted. Well, when I say we, I mean me. And singing grabs our attention and focuses it on God. When you lot praise God, it's a beautiful sound. But it's nothing compared to what the sound will be like when people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation are before the throne of God, and we are singing in perfect harmony at the end of time. So until that day comes, we have got training in singing to be done.